Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
So y'all, because of the goodness of God, we come to this time of making covenant with Him. I mean, if it's not good, if the dude you're standing by or the dudette you're standing by at the wedding service is not good, run the other way. But because He is good and because He has run to you, come running to Him. Because He's good, I want to ask you as we finish 2023 and we head into 2024 and we're going to think about this for a minute, but just these three questions. What is it in your life that you need to leave behind, that you need to let go of, that you need to get rid of? It stops right now. You cut it off now. You break the chains now. It's gone. What is it that you need to let go of? It could be an attitude. It could be some unforgiveness. It could be sin. It could be addiction. Whatever it is, what is it right now as you cross over this thing from 2023 to 2024, that threshold, what do you need to leave behind? Secondly, what do you need to keep? What is something God's put in your life or you've chosen in a way to be faithful to Him that you put in your life? What is it that you need to keep? Maybe a spiritual discipline, maybe a relationship, it may be an intentionality. What is it that God's done in you in 2023 that you're going, that's a keeper, that needs to stay? And the third question is, what is it that needs to be new? What do I need to begin as we're closing out this year, heading into next year? What do I need to begin to be faithful to the Lord? And it could be that Bible book club we talked about. It could be, I'm really going to be a witness for Jesus. It could be, I really am just going to, every morning when I get up, I'm just going to say, Lord, I belong to You. What do you need to begin? So I'm not asking you for a list of 20 things on leaving or keeping or beginning. What's one thing? One thing you need to leave, one thing you need to keep, and one thing you need to begin. Spend some time seeking the Lord. Now let us enter into this time of confession. Let us end remembering the mercies of God and the hope of His calling, remembering how good He is and how much He is a God of grace. Let us now examine ourselves by the light of His Spirit, that we may see where we have failed or fallen short in faith and practice, and considering all that this covenant means, may give ourselves anew to God. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and watching our hearts, lest by self-deceit and arrogance, you might say, we shut ourselves out from His very presence. Let us pray. O God, our Father, who has set for us the way of life, in Your beloved Son, we confess with shame our slowness to learn of You and our reluctance to follow You. You have spoken and called, and we have not obeyed. Your beauty has shone forth, and we have been blind. You have stretched out Your hands to us through our brothers and sisters, and we have passed right on by. We have taken great benefits with little thanks. We have been unworthy of Your changeless love. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, we implore You, the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our inconsistency and unbelief, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, our hesitating witness for Christ, our false pretenses, and our willful ignorance of Your ways. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us when we have wasted our time or misused our gifts. Forgive us when we have excused our own wrongdoing or evaded our responsibilities. Forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good, that we have drawn back from the cross. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us that so little of Your love has reached others through us, and that we have borne so lightly wrongs and sufferings that were not our own. Forgive us when we have cherished the things that divide us from others, and when we have made it hard for them to live with us, and when we have been thoughtless in our judgments, hasty in our condemnation, grudging or begrudging not willing to give forgiveness. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. If we have made no ventures in fellowship, if we have kept in our heart a grievance against another, if we have not sought reconciliation, if we have been eager for the punishment of wrongdoers and slow to seek their redemption, have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Now let us make our own confession in our own words. Lord, hear our prayers, our silent prayers of confession. Hear the good news. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us, for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, look at me. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now say it to each other. This side over here, y'all turn and face these guys over here. They really need it. And you're going to say to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. And then y'all do the same for them. And please include the praise team. You need it? Okay, all right. All right, turn that way. Don't look at me. Turn at them. I'm waiting for your head to turn that way. There we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Your turn this way. And since most of, wait, I want to say it with you. By the way, since most of y'all are wherever, see how their heads are turned wherever? Okay, y'all ready? Here we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Lord, there's power in that. When we confess our sins before you and to one another, that every single one of us is called to do what we just did. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. As we come to this time of communion, let me share a little bit. At our household, there's 11 of us, right? And so 10 of the 11 have been sick this week. In fact, we've got the text this morning. Josh says all four littles still have fever. So Janie and I, it was 2 weeks ago, right? We got bronchitis. And then I could barely, Todd preached for me last Sunday. And anyway, and so we've all had medicine. 10 out of 11, because Haley has really good genes and she's not sick yet. Maybe? Question mark? I haven't talked to you this morning. Okay, iffy. All right. Y'all, here's the truth. Not 10 out of 11 or 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 2. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And y'all, this table right here, this is our medicine. Okay? Do you remember how Jesus said it? It's not the well that need a physician, it's the sick. And so Jesus, there's only one kind of people he couldn't help. It's those that didn't need help. And so what happens as we come to this table is we kind of acknowledge, Lord, we're sick. We're sin sick. We're heart sick. We're broken. Lord, we're hurting. And we need your grace. God's grace that accepts us where we are. You know, his unconditional, unmerited love that comes to us where we are. And then takes us where we need to be. That's what this table is. This is a Jesus table. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And he gave thanks to the Father. And he broke the bread. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is given, not earned, which is given for you. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks to you. And as he poured the cup, he said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. When they remembered, it wasn't simply about a cognitive awareness of something that happened in the past. It was an actual re-experiencing of the reality of God and his grace in the present. As you come to this table, don't come thinking, oh, I've got my own antibodies. I can beat this thing. No. come in need of the great physician and his touch, and his healing, and his presence in your life. This is the table of Jesus. Come and feast on him, for he is your remedy. He is your cure. And in him and him alone will you receive what you need to receive in your life. Freely, freely, you have received his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his presence. Now freely, freely give. As we have, as Jesus has made this offering for us, now we make our offering to him. This morning we're going to do our scripture reading together. And so it'll be on the screen. And we start with 2 Kings chapter 23. Y'all ready? You're going to read it out loud with me. Here we go. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Y'all, this is King Josiah. This is 3,000 years ago. And great thing is they entered into covenant together. I mean, because you can do covenant all by yourself, but the king and also us today and those old Wesleyan Methodists, they understood the importance of making covenant together. Not just me and Jesus got our own thing going, but we are going to do this covenant together. If I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus, then we belong to each other. And so we make this covenant today, knowing that we cannot do it on our own. We can only do it in dependency upon the Lord, but also in interdependence upon one another. Second scripture. This is from Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Y'all, this was written 700 years before Jesus, and this is now our covenant. This is a now covenant. It's not, the old covenant was written, remember, Moses on top of Mount Sinai, written on the tablets, right? That was written on stone. But this covenant, the very presence of the Holy Spirit himself, writing the covenant and the relationship and everything that's supposed to happen in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts. This is the covenant we are in, a covenant of love and forgiveness and transformation. Not just, again, you know, laws on a tablet, but truths in our heart, okay? Third scripture, this is from Jesus, John 15. Y'all ready? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The covenant is a dependent, lasting, forever connection and relationship between the vine, Jesus, and the branches, us. All we got to do is put ourselves in him. In fact, this is not about things that we achieve. This is about a relationship that we receive. This is not about what we do for God. This is about us being in God and God in us, in Christ and Christ in us, in the Spirit and the Spirit in us. If we're connected to the vine, we have life. If we're disconnected from the vine, we don't have life. That's your invitation as you finish 2023 and you head into 2024. Get connected. Get planted. Get organically and eternally in relationship with Jesus. Belong to him and let him belong to you. Last scripture, y'all don't have it on the screen, and I apologize. I did it for the first service, forgot to do it in this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, if any woman is in Christ, then he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The old is gone. The old is gone, and the new is come. Today, we let the old go, and we embrace the new of Jesus. As we enter into this last part of our covenant, this is some weighty words. I'm going to give you some time to look at it in just a minute. But I want to read you the admonitions that are in the very first edition, I think, of this. And so, strong admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord and seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, and carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant and searching your hearts about whether you really, truly have given yourself to him. So y'all, this that we're doing here, we're going to do it here. But take it home, read it, say it, pray it, live it again and again. Second admonition, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so that you can keep your promise. This isn't about how good you are. This is about how much you're planted in the vine. This is about how much of God you truly are depending upon. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God with God's power. Never, ever, ever go back. We only go forward with Jesus. Last, then be prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, open your hearts to the Lord. Now, look, we don't have kneelers. They didn't have big, fancy, cool churches and really neat pews. They just got down on their knees, maybe their face, when they made this prayer. I ask you to stand at this time as we enter into covenant with our Lord. Y'all, the ground upon which you stand is holy ground, sacred ground. This place is holy and sacred this morning, not because we're here, but because Jesus is here. You remember when Moses in the burning bush, and from the burning bush, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing is holy ground. What made the ground holy was not the bush, not the burning bush. What made the ground holy was that God himself was in that place. This morning, what makes this ground holy, sacred ground, is that God himself is in this place to meet with you and me this morning. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us, therefore, go to Christ and pray. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and your work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give my all to your pleasure and disposal. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means of coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. Oh, blessed Jesus, I come to you hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness, my hope, and my all. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. The Almighty God searches and knows your heart. Oh God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now glory be to you, oh God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and my Father. Glory be to you, oh God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. And now you are my Savior and my Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Come and fill my empty cup full and overflowing with your presence. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it. Let the covenant I've made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are your servants, but Lord, also your beautiful, precious, beloved sons and your beautiful and precious, beloved daughters. Oh, Lord Jesus, we belong to you and you belong to us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Y'all, for Christmas, Caleb's girlfriend Zulema gave me a little bobblehead Jesus. He's about this big. Y'all ever seen them? They're just, you know, and he's so nice and kind. And guess what? I can stick Jesus down in my pocket, or when I need him, I really need him, I can pull him out, right? Or maybe I can just, I'm in charge, so I'll just, if I need to keep something from him, I'll just hide him. Wait, little Jesus doesn't exist. Only big, big Jesus. And he loves you. And he wants to be the very center of everything that you are. I got to do this is a West Texas spiritual. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be used, full and free. But to be filled with the Spirit, I got to be empty of me. So pick me up, take my cap off, Lord, and turn me upside down. Take your hand and slap my backside, Lord, and pour me on the ground. Y'all, just that. I know it's a silly, really stupid song. But if I want to be filled with him, I just got to be empty of me. And Lord, today, Jesus, today, every person here, Lord, we're yours. Lord, we want to be full of you. So Lord, do whatever it takes for us to totally, completely, continually give ourselves, surrender ourselves to you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Amen. God bless y'all. Almost Happy New Year. How about that?
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.